I grew up listening to W.R. Jones preach at the Kleinwood Church in Houston, Texas. And even though I was very young, my friends and I would sit on the front pew, and we would try as hard as we could to copy down all of his overhead charts that he'd placed one after the other. I can still see some of them about heaven and hell and the judgment and the church. And I'm sure one night he thought I was taking very diligent notes when what I was doing was drawing a picture of Brother Jones baptizing someone who at that time was very important in my life. It was the Incredible Hulk. And I took him the picture after services and showed it to him. And he stood there and he kind of held it out and adjusted his glasses. And I'm sure where many preachers would have told me to go play in the parking lot, he just smiled and said, "Well, the gospel is for all." And that's why we're here this weekend, isn't it? Because we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all. And I so appreciate your attention to the things of God and your interest in His gospel and making it available to all. Thank you very much for the invitation to come and be with you this weekend. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Brent and Katie, it's wonderful to be reunited with them. They weren't parents when they were with us in Pasadena, and so it's wonderful to be with them and their family. Look forward to meeting all of you this weekend as we consider some things that the Bible says, especially to our young people. Before we begin, I want to recognize several who've come from East Shelby, several couples who are very special to me and my family as well. Wonderful to see them. Thank you all for being here to remind us of the gospel that is for all. I want to ask you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to take our first reading there in just a moment. But I want especially our teenagers to appreciate where we are. Many times churches will have a VBS during the summer that's primarily intended for younger children. Many times in our gospel meetings, we emphasize on one certain part of the Christian life, whether it be how to be a better parent or how to be a better husband and wife. And a lot of those things are aimed at our adults in the kingdom. But I want you teenagers tonight to thank God that you have elders who are interested in you, who want to have a weekend that is devoted especially to you. Now, we're going to invite everyone to come because the gospel is for all. But these lessons are intended for you. You better thank God that you have parents who love you and want you to come and encourage you to learn what God says to me. That's what I hear a lot from teenagers. Well, the Bible just doesn't say anything to me. It is for older people. It's for when you get married. It's for when you're raising your family. It's for when you have a job and you're out in the world. The Bible just doesn't say anything to me. It doesn't have anything that applies to my life right now. Well, I want you to notice what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and enjoy the impulses of your heart and the desire of your eyes, yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. So remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" Did you notice how many times the wise man said, "This is for you, young man. This is for you, youth. You remember all these things that God has given you. You rejoice in this time of life when you have so many opportunities that are before you, when you have the ability to do so many things that when you get older, you're going to wish, boy, I wish I had taken better use of those days. But I want you to notice especially tonight what he says in chapter 12 and verse 1 when he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. If you want to boil down our whole weekend series of How Shall the Young into one word, it's going to be the word relationships. And we're going to look at all the various relationships that you're a part of as a young person. We're going to talk about your relationship with your parents tomorrow night. We're going to talk about your relationship with your friends. We're going to talk about your relationship with the opposite sex. What does God expect from me in all these relationships? What is my relationship to the rest of the world? How can I be a person who shows my Creator is living in me? But I want you to see tonight that the most important relationship of all, that if this one is not right, the others will not be what they ought to be, is your relationship with God. It's important for you to be a better son or daughter to your mother and father. It's important for you to be a better friend. It's important for you to be a better boyfriend and girlfriend. But I want you to see first that if you're not a better Christian, then you'll never be what you ought to be in these other relationships of life. You mismanage your money, you could have financial trouble. You could go bankrupt. You mismanage your health by what you put into your body. You could have problems later on in life. You could be in the hospital. You could be hooked up to machines. But you mismanage your soul, and you will lose it for all eternity. And so I want us to focus just on those few words in verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Let's just take it a section at a time. First of all, he says to remember. You know, that's not the only time that word appears in the Bible, remember. In fact, if you just kind of think back at all the times God has said remember, there was always something important attached to it, wasn't it? When he brought the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, he instituted the Passover feast. And there, if we were to go back and read in Exodus chapter 13, we would see where he said, remember this day. Remember this as the time God passed over and slew the firstborn of the house of the Egyptians, but delivered you from the house of slavery. Remember, you don't have to go further past that to the Ten Commandments. What was the fourth one? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, remember Lot's wife. You know what's interesting about that? Is that the Lord didn't have any further explanation. He was right in the middle of preaching, and he just threw in there, remember Lot's wife. And he didn't have to stop and say, you know, she was the one that became the pillar of salt. They knew who she was, and they remembered that. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Do this in remembrance of me. You know what's interesting about all those things? When the Lord explicitly tells us to remember, they all involve things that we shouldn't have to be told to remember. We shouldn't have to be told. The Israelites should not have to have been told, you need to remember when God rescued you. They shouldn't have to be told, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy to God. We should not have to be told, remember Jesus and His sacrifice for you. What that tells us is God knew that we would be a forgetful people. We would be a people who'd be distracted by all the things going around us, and our attention would be diverted, and we would forget what was most important. And so He says, remember. Anytime the Lord says that, I tell you what, that ought to be a red flag. That ought to be a verse we underline, because it's as if the Lord is saying, as a teacher might say in school, this will be on the test. You're going to need to know this. Remember. But you look a little further. What this time does the Lord say to remember? And Solomon says, remember your Creator. If I were to ask you what the top 10 causes of death are in the United States, you think you might be able to fill out the list? The top three alternate year to year. The numbers vary year to year, but these are always the top three, not necessarily in this order. Heart disease, cancer, strokes. Those kill more people in our country than anything else. Here's what's interesting to me. Top 10 leading causes of death. Suicide, number 8. Murder, number 10. Isn't it interesting all the ways that we take precaution to make sure that we have our safety before us? We lock our doors in the car and in the house. We get an alarm system for the house that we set at night. In Texas, I assume you do it here too, we buy guns to protect ourselves from intruders. We don't want somebody coming in the night and killing us. But we live in a country where more people are killing themselves. Why is that? Because we didn't remember. We forgot who made us. We didn't remember our Creator. We've lost sight of where we came from. And really, what should we expect? When our young people are being taught that you are just an evolved substance, not just that you trace your lineage all the way back to the animal kingdom, but you go further than that. You're bacteria. That's where your ancestors are. Why should we think that young people and old people alike won't value life when we don't value where life comes from? Remember your Creator is what Solomon said. Don't ever forget that God made you. Did you know that you're the only creation of God where He explicitly said in the beginning, let us make man in our image? He didn't say that about the plant life. He didn't say that about any animal. Let us make man, God said, in our image, according to our likeness. You ever ask like David? Maybe you're out in the country. You can count all, or you can see all the stars of heaven, and you couldn't count them if you tried. And you start to feel so insignificant. Lord, I consider all the works of your hands and the way that you've put creation, and every single part of it has its purpose. And I begin to wonder, what is man? Who am I? How do I fit? And yet David said in Psalm 8, you've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Remember your Creator. God made you. That makes you somebody special. And let me just say something about that. God gave you your looks. In other words, He made you the way He wanted to make you. And if you're dissatisfied with that, you're going to have to take that up with the Lord. I used to be a little put out that I was what I call vertically challenged. I always thought I wanted to be 6 feet tall. Well, if the Lord wanted to make me 6 feet tall, He'd have made me 6 feet tall. As it is, I've decided I can't do anything about that. And so I'm just going to be the best 5 foot 10 Christian that I can be, because that's what God wants me to be. And He made you exactly the way he wanted to. And it looked how we're dissatisfied. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God knows that in the day you eat of this, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What was the temptation? I want more than what God gave me. The next time you look in the mirror, I want you to see someone God made in His image. Shouldn't that be enough? Remember your Creator. God gave you your abilities. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we would stop wishing, oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could play an instrument like he does. I wish that I had ability to throw a baseball like he does. Well, why don't you thank God for what he's given you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we would be satisfied with the abilities God gave us to do? Because he could have made us to do anything. As it is, he has given us things that we can use to his glory for the benefit of his people. And God gave you your family. You think about all the families in the world God could have placed you in. And he gave you your mother and your father and your grandparents. And perish the thought, he gave you your brothers and your sisters too. God gave you those. He could have put you in any country, any part of the world, any time. But he gave you your family. Don't forget that. Remember your Creator. We shouldn't have to be told. But the thing that makes this verse apply to our study for this weekend is the next phrase in the verse where he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I'm afraid that sometimes we don't expect much of our young people. Even when they're very young, somebody will ask a kid a question and the parents will answer for the kid. You ever notice that? And then little Johnny or little Susie will get into some phase and we'll just laugh it off. Oh, that's cute. She's being disrespectful, but she'll grow out of that. And then they get a little younger or a little older and a little more rebellious. And we say, well, that'll pass because they're just young. They've got to get it out of their system. And then these same young people grow up, but they don't grow out of it. And then they go away and they go away from the Lord. And we wonder, what happened? What happened was we didn't teach them to remember their Creator in the days of your youth. God has never said that sin is acceptable so long as it's committed by someone under the age of 20. Because after that, boy, then they're going to be accountable. In fact, what you find are example after example in Scriptures of young people who remembered their Creator in the days of their youth. What about Joseph, a 17-year-old boy in Genesis 39, away from his family? As far as he knew, they had forgotten about him. They didn't care what happened to him. And Potiphar's wife, I suppose you could call her the original desperate housewife. Potiphar's wife is coming to him day after day, and she's tempting Joseph. And I want you to be impressed that this 17-year-old boy, handsome in form and appearance, didn't say, well, God's caused all this to happen to me. I might as well enjoy myself while I'm here. He said, how could I do this great evil and sin against God? There was the primary relationship to Joseph. Daniel and his three friends in Daniel chapter 1 would not defile themselves with the king's delicacies and wine. Because whether in captivity or in Israel, they serve Jehovah God. And even Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, we don't know much about his young manhood. We have the incident of his birth, the incident when he was 12 years old, when he was about his father's business. And then he comes preaching at the age of 30. But there's the verse at the end of Luke 2 that says he increased in stature, in wisdom, favor with God, and in favor with man. We have examples of men and women who remembered their Creator in the days of their youth. If children are not taught this when they are young, do we expect that they're just going to throw a switch on when they get older and then all of a sudden spiritual things will take priority in their life? Let me say something to you tonight. If we constantly allow children to miss Bible class and miss services because they have homework or they have some project at school, are we not teaching them when they get older that secular education trumps spiritual education? If their relationship with the coach of the team or the band director is more important than their relationship with God, why are we surprised when they grow up and choose jobs that are going to take them either away from the Lord's people or away from service where they can give their all, their whole heart and soul to remembering God? I can still remember going up to my band director in high school. I was a freshman, scared to death. He had called the practice on a Wednesday night. And I went into his office and said that I have services on Wednesday night. And he looked me right in the eye and said, "You need to get your priorities straight." And that's the mindset that we often battle against. We must teach our young people, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And there are some times when I think days ought to be spelled D-A-Z-E. The days of your youth. Think about it. Those of you who've passed through adolescence, that was a very troublesome time. Everything was changing. My voice was changing. My hormones were changing. My classmates were changing. I was staying the same. They were getting taller. And I felt like every time I awkwardly walked into a room, it was as if everybody was looking at me and staring at me. And it just felt like the world was going around too fast. The days of your youth. What is the constant? What is the relationship that doesn't change? Remember your Creator. There are some choices that you make when you're 13 or 15. 18 or 21 that are going to affect the rest of your life. We'd gone to do some visiting a while back, see some of our members who were shut in. And one of the young junior high boys had asked me, "The next time you go visiting, I want to go with you." And so I called and picked him up, and he went visiting to Sister Bowen's house. She had emphysema, and she had an oxygen tank that she had to carry with her wherever she went, even in her own house to get around. The oxygen was right there with her. And we visited with her for a little while, and we got ready to leave and got all the way to the door, and she called the young boy back. And she said, "I don't want to ever hear that you started smoking." She said, "Look what it did to me." Now, we don't think about that in the days of youth, do we? We don't think, what will this mean years from now? What will this mean down the road? Usually, we're just thinking of right now. That's why Solomon's admonition, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, is so that when we get older, the decisions we made when we were young, if they be right ones and good ones that God approves of, will only keep us in further standing in His sight. Look what he says at the end of the chapter. When he had said all those things about rejoicing in your young manhood, follow the impulses of your heart, but look what he said in verse 14. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. God wants you to rejoice. He wants you to enjoy this wonderful time of life. But he said it, Solomon said, it's foolish to rejoice without remembering. God will bring every act to judgment, even those committed in the days of your youth. Instead of talking about bad habits, why not start forming some good ones? Why not develop a conscience when you're young? That if I get in bed at night and I've not read the Bible today, I'm going to feel guilty about that. We all need more time, don't we? Oh, if I just had more time. You know what's amazing to me about that? I can never remember a time when I've gotten in bed and said, "Well, I just didn't have time to watch TV today. Oh, I just didn't have time to check my email." We always make time for that. Why not develop habits in the days of our youth that we're going to pray every day? That I'm going to prepare my lesson for Bible class. That I'm going to invite my friends to come to the services. That I'm going to write notes to the sick and discouraged. I'm going to use the talent God gave me to His glory. And please don't think that it's going to get easier when you get older. I remember when I was about to finish college, I had this dream of all this free time that was going to magically appear. No more group meetings at the school, no more homework or projects I had to work on, and finally I'm going to be able to have all this time to do things I know I ought to be doing in God's kingdom. Well, guess what? I'm still waiting. Because now I have a family, and we have a house to maintain, and two cars to keep running. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And don't play the waiting game of "I'll do that later on." See the urgency to remember your Creator even today. Psalm 23, David was not satisfied just with saying, "The Lord is a shepherd," or even, "The Lord is the shepherd." He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." It was personal to him. And it didn't matter to him that his father, Jesse, was a godly man. He didn't rest on his dad's faith. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." see the urgency in the days of your youth to cultivate that relationship with God. Oh, I'm going to do that when I get married. My spouse and I, we can do that together. Oh, I'm going to do that when the kids come along because we want to have a family that we can do this together. Oh, I'm going to do that when I start working. Then I'll have more money and I'll be able to have more time. Oh, I'm going to do that after I retire because then I'll have all this time. And then it becomes after we die. Solomon said, remember your Creator and the time to start that is in the days of your youth. It is not enough, young people, to say that you come from a good family. That's important. But you can't rest on the faith of your fathers. It's not enough to say that you come from a good congregation, a good leadership, a good group of God's people who are trying the best they can to follow His Word and be a church that we read about in the New Testament. That is important. But that doesn't say anything about your faith. You see, you have to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Would you consider one final passage with me tonight? It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher as he was encouraging him in his work at the church at Ephesus. Notice with me what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Nobody's ever called me by my real first name, Gerald Edward Garner. I never thought it fit who I was. You say, Bubba doesn't either. That's probably right, too. And I always hated the first day of school when I would have to tell my teacher, because she'd always say, I'm going to call the roll, and if you want to be called by something different, you tell me what that is. And finally, she'd get to the G's, and she'd say, Gerald Garner. And I'd raise my hand and say, Bubba, and everybody would laugh. But you know, there's coming a day when it won't matter to me by what name I'm called. When the Lord calls the roll up yonder, and He should say, well done, Gerald. Or, well done, Bubba. I just want him to know what my name is. Because the Lord knows those who are His. And do you know what the alternative is? Depart. I never knew you. How can I expect the Lord to remember me when I've not remembered my Creator? When I've not given my relationship to God the priority over every other relationship of life? We're going to sing a song that will invite you to come to Jesus the Loving Shepherd. It's heaven's call tonight. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you've not secured your relationship with God, you can come tonight confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and repenting of your sins, be baptized tonight and have all those things washed away, and you can be His child. If you've forgotten your commitment and you need to come back to Him, if there's ever any way we can be of assistance, let that be known right now while together we stand and while we sing.